Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Boy, the things we talk about on that.
easy.
You probably heard Captain Leon Dana call us this morning. You know, I want to tell everybody, if you want to go fishing down there with Captain Leon Dana or Captain Chip Wingo, Captain Leon's phone number, of course, is 904-591-8906. It's 591-8906. If you hadn't fished down in Palm Valley area, it's a real trip. And those two guys, you know, they make it happen. Captain Chip Wingo is 614-4989. That's 614-4989. So give one of them or both of them a call and get down there. You know, when we take people fishing, I've told people before, I said, you know, whenever you go, I mean, a lot of times, you know, we have our regular customers. But sometimes if you're learning an area, I mean, it's good to hire, you know, one guy, then hire another guy. And because we all got different, you know, a little different techniques. You know, we don't all fish exactly the same.
Well, I imagine y'all go to some of the same spots, but a lot of spots that aren't the same.
Because
I know you go to different spots on different tides.
Right.
So, yeah, I would like to go to Palm Valley and flounder fish when that's happening down there.
Well, it's happening down there now.
It is.
Yeah. Flounders came in early this year.
Wow.
And they're catching some nice ones in St. John's too.
But if only I had a boat that worked.
Yeah. You do crank your motor now and then, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About once a month.
Yeah. Do you turn the steering wheel?
No.
You need to. I had a friend of mine used to crank his up all the time, and then he got out there and launched the boat, and his power tilt was froze up and the steering was froze up.
Yeah.
After he backed it off the trailer.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. So you want to turn that back and forth at least once or twice, you know. I had a mechanic tell me one time, you know, you run that, I guess you call it run that shaft out to where you get, you know. Out
for the tilt?
For
the steering.
For the steering, run the shaft all the way out and then take some STP oil and rub on it with your finger.
Yeah.
And then let it sit for just a little bit. And then run it back in, and then that's, you store it like that. And you've got, even though you have,
makes sense,
even though you have that seal that pushes a lot of it off, but you still got some if you let it sit on there and then put it, you still got a little bit. And then that way, when you turn your wheel back the other way, put that shaft back in there, you know, you've got at least some lubrication in there.
Mm.
But that STP oil treatment, that's some slick stuff. Oh, it's slick.
A long time ago, I used to use that stuff in cars.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was buying $100 cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, back when we had, you know, some, you know, pretty cheap cars.
Yeah.
Motors go wrong with them or something. That Marvel Mystery Oil. That worked.
Yeah. Good.
You never hear people using that in a boat, but, you know, my neighbor did one time when I sold him that Chrysler I had. He used
that. Why'd you hate him?
Motor on the boat.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Did you hate him?
Well, I sold it to him, and because I wasn't using it for a while, I was building a house, you know, at the time, and he kept telling me, he says, man, you're going to let that boat sit there and rot. And I'm like, well, you know, but I had it raised up, you know, where the rain would flow out of it and stuff. Didn't have a boat shed back then. I mean, I was working on a house. So anyway, he came over here one day, and he goes, you going to sell that to me? And I said, $500. He goes, oh, I'll go get money out of the bank right now, $500.
There you go.
And I was like, okay. I forget what I paid for it. Anyway, he buys it. And I'd crank it up now and then, you know, turn the wheel back and forth, you know, turn the steering wheel back and forth and power tilt and trim up and down at least a couple of times. So I kept all of that okay. Kept it all good. So I sold it to him. He came over, got it. He was so excited. The next day he went out fishing. He called me and goes, have you ever had any problem with this motor? I was like, no. was it. I mean, I hadn't had it but about a year and a half, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, I haven't, you know. He said, it run hot. And he lived next door to me. I didn't even know he was back yet. He goes, it ran hot, and I pulled the cowling off, and it melted all the wires off of him.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, how in the world? I mean, I was ready to, you know, give him his money back for it, you know. And so, anyway, I walked over there and looked at it, and I looked down, and I said, did you try to crank it here? You know, hook the hose up and try to crank it? He goes, no, because he said it froze up on me, you know, and I had to get towed back. So I was like, if you hadn't tried to crank it, you didn't pull the earmuffs off of it. He goes, no, isn't that part of the motor?
It couldn't get any water.
Couldn't get any water. Of course, when you start moving, there ain't enough water to go in the
hose nozzle.
In the hose nozzle, you know.
Lord.
So that's why it burned up, you know.
Of course.
So he pulled that off and tried to, you know, turn the motor, and it wouldn't do it. So he goes, I know. He says, I'll fix it up. He said, I'll go get some Marvel Mystery Oil. I'll put it in the cylinders. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So he left that in there for 3 days. Come back, crank it right up. I heard him crank it up over there, and I was like, wow. So I went over there. He run his, you know, he pulled this wire off and replaced this wire. He didn't,
right,
you know, where he knew where everything was at, one wire at a time. And I guess he had that boat probably a good 3-4 years after that, you know, that he fished out of it. So I was like, wow. I mean, he knew how to do that stuff. I didn't. I was a mechanic in motor pool, but I never worked on outboards.
Right.
And back then, when I was a mechanic in the motor pool, you didn't have sensors on engines and all that stuff. You had points, you know.
Right.
You had rotor and points that you had to replace every now and then when the car wouldn't start. You
clean
know,
your own spark plugs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clean them, put them in there.
Set the gaps.
They cost too much at 60 cents a piece, you know. Now they're like $7 a piece.
I was fishing one time. I was talking to this woman when I was living in Georgia, in St. Simons. I was fishing on a bridge. I didn't have a boat. She was using a spark plug. I don't even know where she got one. For sinkers.
Oh, wow.
She says, yeah, my mom told me spark plugs make the best sinkers. And that's what she was using.
I'll be darned.
She's catching whiting. Happy as a clam.
I wonder where she'd get most of them.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe her car was only firing on 5 cylinders. I have no idea. But she's using about 900-pound test line, too, so I don't think she went through them very fast.
Oh, man.
And she was catching whiting one right after another.
You talking about the car running on 5 cylinders? I got a story for you. Guys I used to work with, we decided to fish in a drum tournament they had at Trout River. Right there at, where Jackie's Seafood Kitchen is now, that used to be Trout River Fish Company.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a building in front of it, you know, and that's Trout River. But it used to be the building right there on the water. So they had a drum tournament in there, and I forget what company put it on. So, anyway, we're going to get in this drum tournament.
This is a big drum tournament when the big drummer in?
No, it actually wasn't.
Okay.
But anyway, it was, I think it was like October, November, something like that, when the drum starts running in the river and, you know, at the jetty, stuff like that. So anyway, there's 4 of us. And I was like, you know, use my boat, you know, no, let's use mine, you know. And it was 3 of us. One of us didn't have a boat. So finally, the guy with the biggest boat had a cabin cruiser. He says, nah, let's just use mine. He said, we put a pot of coffee on and all this stuff. And we're like, okay, we'll do that. So we got it in and launched the boat. It's like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, fixing to go to check in. We had to launch over to Arlington Boat Ramp, and the motor would not crank. And we were just so mad. So we had to move all the equipment, all the fishing equipment, raise the hatch on the back, because it was in, you know, inboard, outboard. Went down in there, tried to crank it. It wouldn't crank. So we pulled a spark plug out, held it with a pair of pliers against the motor to see if it was getting any spark. And the motor fired up, cranked up.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll continue that when we come back. We'll be back.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And talking about that boat, how it fired up with the spark plug in our hand. Had a pair of pliers holding it against the side of the motor, you know, to ground it and to see if there was a spark. And that motor fired right up. So anyway, we put the spark plug back in. It wouldn't crank up.
That's crazy.
So took it back out. Thing cranked right up again. And so we put it, you know, started spraying ether in there. And I told my boss, I said, you know, if he's got ether on the boat, that means he's had problems before. And so we might have a problem fishing this tournament. I mean, you just don't carry ether on the boat, you know. And so anyway, we got it cranked. And we'd, you know, fish and fish and fish. And we'd move the spots here and there. We caught a couple small drum and caught some croakers and things. Because I think it was like October, November. Is when this tournament was. It seemed to me like it was the end of October.
Is that the beginning of the drum when they start coming in?
Yeah, usually sometimes around middle to the end of September, you start catching them at Trout River, the mm-hmm. mouth of Trout River. Just before that, you can catch them down at the mouth of Ortega. There's this sandbar right there at the mouth of Ortega River.
Are they up the river or are they offshore?
Well, they come from like Green Cove.
Okay, so they're up the river mm-hmm. and they're coming out.
Yeah. Now, these are the smaller ones. These are not the giant drum,
right?
You know, and what they're doing is they're following the shrimp run out just like the croakers do. So that's the period, that's the time of the year they do it. And so anyway, they'll come out, they'll, you know, you catch them here and there and there. You can catch them right against where the cruise ship mm-hmm. docks at.
Yeah,
that bulkhead right there, you can catch them. Well, I say right, it's not right against the bulkhead. We get out about 40 feet from it. You know, but you can't do that when the cruise ship's in. But anyway, get about 40 feet out from that bulkhead. It's good and deep right there. They've dredged it out for the cruise ship. But anyway, that's, you just follow them out. Then they'll be down at the Danes Point and then down around the mouth of Sisters Creek and you know, places like that. Now, we used to catch them at buoy 25, which is straight out from Whiteshell Fish Camp. But now that they dredge the river and, you know, widen the channel, they moved all those rocks in there. There was a bunch of rocks on the edge of the channel right there, and they moved all the rocks. You go in there now and look at a jet finder, it's just a smooth bottom. So I doubt the drums ever going to be back in there again, but who knows? They might be one day. But let's get Taylor on here. Morning, Taylor.
What's going on?
Hey, Taylor.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I was going to take my boat out, but I don't think it'd be too good on the water today.
Why is that?
It's going to be low tide, and then the wind's going to be blowing like 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, probably more.
Well, it's 5 to 10 this morning. It's not supposed to be 15 till late this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Low tides right now, I don't know how to fish the low tide yet. I get at work on that. I like outgoing tides.
No. See, I like low tide.
Yeah,
I don't know. You just got to get more experience, you know, with different tides and stuff, and then you'll see, you'll start catching a lot more fish.
You'll go to different places.
Yeah, you got to use that, you know, you got to get used to using that boat. And just, you know, a lot of the places you go, you can go right at low tide. And, and you know, because actually when you get there at low tide and you're fishing, or you're fishing at a creek or whatever, if you ever, like, you know, get stuck on the bottom, then the tide's going to start coming in and raise you right back up. You know, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times I've told people that's what you want to do, to try to research a creek.
If you're not spending a couple hours, you know, laying on shore on the bottom of your boat, wishing you weren't there, you're not boating enough. Everybody gets stuck.
Yeah, I've been stuck.
Yeah.
Years ago, but I've been stuck.
Well, maybe I need to go out. I don't know. I need to charge the trolling motor, though. I got to get a new power pole pump for my power pole as well. But
you need to charge.
What happened to the power pole?
The pump went out. It was old. The boat to 2003, so the power pole is probably original, you know, on the boat. So I just need her. The pump went out. It was losing hydraulic fluid. It was leaking. So I put it up, and then it kept leaking and kept falling down. And so then I'm gonna rebuild the whole pump. I got to send it back to power pole.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you can go over to Matt. He can order you one or whatever and put it on for you.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, if he orders one, he has to pay for brand new. But they can rebuild the pump. They just put a new motor on there, then they rebuild all the valves and all that stuff, so you don't have to pay for brand new. Because the new pump is like $500.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I can get it cheaper if they rebuild it. And they're really nice people.
Usually pumps are pretty easy to fix.
Yeah, and their customer service, PowerPole's customer service, is probably one of the best in the business.
Oh, yeah, they sent me some new lines and some new pump oil and a new spike. I didn't pay anything for it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, they're really good.
It's like
when Chip, you know, broke his the pin, you know, that goes down in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, called them, they UPS'd it right to him, you know.
Hmm. See, I don't even have a power pole.
I don't either.
Taylor, don't you have a spot lock on a trolling motor?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking about taking it off, but, you know, never know. You might need it just for emergency case or something, or the battery dies. You never know. So,
don't you have an anchor?
Good to have. Yeah, no, I don't have I have an anchor, but I don't fish a lot of deep water. Sometimes I do, but not lately. But it's still good to have, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if you start fishing the river, you probably need to put an anchor of some sort on there.
I didn't have one.
Oh, yeah, there's already an anchor on there, but I hate throwing the anchor.
Oh, everybody does.
Yeah, everybody hates
they're
that.
They're nasty. They're, you know, the best thing ever happened to the first mate was the invention of spot lock.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that was great. It's great.
Yeah, when you're the captain and the first mate, oh, yeah, you need spot lock.
Oh, yeah, I don't like throwing the anchor. I've thrown that anchor plenty of times. When you go scuba diving, man, it's a lot of work throwing that anchor.
Oh, I bet. Well, throwing it's not too hard. It's not throwing it. It's the pulling it in.
Thinking about the cup. Yeah, pulling it in. Yeah, that's the thing. Pulling it in. Yeah, it's so heavy.
You get anybody to throw it. It's the pulling in part that we hate.
I had a friend of mine that came out jetties, and, you know, when we were catching drum on the inside of the South Jetties, he'd come out there and fish by me. It was so funny. He'd go over there, and I'd say, just get about 30 feet over, you know, away from me there. And he'd drop down. And he'd just drift right on back. 200 or 300 feet behind me.
Yeah, hopefully in a few more weeks the mullet will start getting thicker and I can start trying to catch a flounder.
And then he come, he'd motor back up, pull his anchor, motor back up, drop it again, and drift behind me. Then he'd drop his anchor again, third time, drift behind me. And I'm like, why don't you just let out like 150 foot of rope? He said, well, I don't want to pull in 150. I said, well, you've pulled in 300 feet so far.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, Taylor, the mullets, I mean, you'll find them. There's mullet all around.
Oh, yeah, they are, but I like when it's thick and you just see them on the grass line. It's there, cast that out, it's so easy.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them yet like that.
Don't you like fishing better?
Yeah, I like fishing, but you got to
get out there. Go fishing.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah, man. Well,
all right.
Good luck when you go. Tomorrow might be an okay day, too, but the wind's supposed to be a little bit more tomorrow. I think it's supposed to be 10 to 15 starting in the morning time. But like I say, it's supposed to be 5 to 10. I don't see a leaf moving here at the radio station, but, you know, depends on what tide you like.
Yeah, I like it. I need to charge that. Yeah, I like that outgoing tide. I need to charge that trolling motor battery, too. I haven't charged in a while. I was going to charge this weekend, but I thought it was going to be worse by now already, but I guess they don't know yet.
You got to think about one of those battery maintenance systems. It makes a huge difference.
I got that. I just got to plug it in.
Oh.
So I keep my burning dry storage on.
Okay.
Yeah, I got an onboard charger. I just got to tell them to put it on the work rack, and then when they put it on the work rack, I charge it that way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if my boat was in a garage like Kip Davis's, I could plug it in any time, but I don't have the kind of money he's got.
Well, it helps.
That boat never moves, so it always stays charged.
But get out there and catch them, Taylor.
Yeah, good luck.
And I will. If I go out this weekend, I'll let you know.
All right. Do you still have your kayak?
Yeah, I got that.
You want to sell it?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, I always want to keep that thing for backup. You never know. You know, like I went out the other day with my buddy. We caught a bunch of reds in the tarpon hole. But you can't get back there with a boat.
Now, there you go.
I mean, you can, but if you can't get out of there dead low tide. We catch them at dead low when the tide's coming in.
Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah, so you need a kayak for that.
Is there only one tarpon hole in around here?
No, you're talking about south of the river, aren't you?
Yeah, the tarpon hole is over by JCB Bridge right there where the FOP is.
Oh.
Yeah, because, see, the tarpon hole we talk about is up here off of Clapboard.
Yeah, in between the two.
There's one in Clapboard where it goes up and turns.
Yes.
That's a deep hole there. And then the one that goes, like, going towards Sisters. Yeah. The one's right beside Sandbar.
Yeah, no, this one's over by JTB Bridge.
Yeah. So there's more than one.
Oh, yeah. I only know that one. That's what people call it. I need to find some more.
Well, there's some over there off the Clapboard.
Yeah, I've been out there. I love it. Just fishing out there.
And you can get in and out of there at low tide. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
At any tide.
As long as you make it around that sandbar.
Well, yeah, it's pretty deep out there.
Yeah. Have you caught one in the kayak any size yet?
No, I never caught a tarpon in the kayak.
I've always thought about that. I bet that's fun. Catch about a 40, 50 pounder.
Oh, yeah.
See how far he'd take you.
That would be fun.
All right, Taylor, well, good luck. Like get out there and get
30 seconds today.
Yeah, you did. You always get more than 30 with me.
Yeah. All right. I'll talk later.
All right, Taylor.
Good luck.
Give us a call, 222-8255.
He's a hoot, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I love him to death. He'll do anything in the world for you.
Yeah.
He's just such a great guy. He really is. I know people give him hell on Facebook sometimes, but, you know, love Taylor to death. He's a good guy, really good guy. Give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back.
AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Firefighters being stressed to the limit now in the western United States. Forest Service says fires throughout the West forcing it into a, quote, crisis mode. Agency has deployed all firefighters and maxed out its support system. Meanwhile, a Northern California blaze heading toward a small lumber town, and in Montana, crews there scrambling to save hundreds of homes near the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation. U.S. Marines landing again in Kabul to stand guard as the U.S. speeds up evacuation flights for American diplomats and thousands of Afghans. Action comes following the lightning Taliban offensive that is increasingly isolating the Afghanistan capital. Officials are investigating possible heat-related death in Oregon, temps well above the 100 mark. This is SRN News.
Experience positive and encouraging teaching from renowned pastor, Bible teacher, and best-selling author, Dr. David Jeremiah. Reserve your free tickets now to attend An Evening with David Jeremiah for an unforgettable night of enriching Bible study, uplifting fellowship, and powerful worship. Coming to Jacksonville at the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena on Thursday, October 7th at 7 p.m. You won't want to miss this special one-night-only event. Get your free tickets at davidjeremiah.org/tour.
A plumbing problem is an immediate problem. You can't wait around for a convenient time for a plumber to stop by. Roland Reisch Plumbing is Jacksonville's award-winning get-it-done-right-away plumber. Call as soon as you see a problem. Call 904-260-7059. Whether the problem is large or small, routine or a middle-of-the-night emergency, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by to get it done right, on time, and at the right price. Call 904-260-7059. Your friends and neighbors have relied on Roland Reisch Plumbing for years. Roland's motto is, have a leak? No need to wait a week. Call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Check them at plumbingjacksonville.com. Make Roland Reisch Plumbing your plumber. Gives you peace of mind knowing somebody's standing by ready to help you 24/7. Roland Reisch Plumbing, 904-260-7059.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today.
Hurricane season is here, and 2021 is expected to be an active one. If you're considering a new generator this year, call American Electrical Contracting to schedule early. American Electrical Contracting will help you plan within your budget and has the highest rated factory certified installers. If there's a storm being tracked, there's a waiting list. Be prepared and buy your new generator today. Visit American-Electrical.com today. American-Electrical.com. How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
For your Saturday, mostly cloudy with showers, maybe some thunderstorms. Expect a high 89. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of more storms, low 75. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high 85. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, low 74. And Monday, more clouds and more storms, high 87.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back.
We are back.
So, we was talking about your boat a while ago. Uh-huh. Whenever you repairing that boat, and you had to kind of take a grinder and get the bottom opened up a little bit so you could re-fiberglass it with cloth and everything. Did you cut the top of that foam out?
I did not.
I mean, cut the fiberglass on the top.
I did cut it, but it was all in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And the fiberglass on the bottom of my boat is thick as can be. It's mm-hmm. ridiculously thick. So I was able to grind it back 12 inches on either side of the slit. I made the slit maybe an inch wide.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back 11 inches beyond where it was slit. So I have plenty of area to get the strength that you need
mm-hmm.
To rebuild it. They say 4-1 is a good, I don't know, scope, if you will.
Yeah.
And I have much more than that. So it's nice and solid.
Yeah, I didn't know if you'd cut that out so that
yeah, I checked it out.
Could evaporate, you know, from the top too or whatever.
I was afraid the foam would be ruined.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, being waterlogged. I don't know how long it was there, right. But it was months that it was wet.
And yeah, I mean, like you say, you don't know. It could have been just falling out of there.
Yeah.
You know.
But it was fine. I mean, it was pristine almost. So it was okay. I just had to grind it back. I used a flap wheel to start with, ground it down real well. The fiberglass towards the corners of the boat is over an inch thick. The bottom of the boat is a half an inch thick. So it's built like a tank.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then, you know, I put cloth in it, and then I used some fairing compound and smoothed it out, and now I'm gel coating it.
So now how do you like fiberglass work?
Well, I've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I didn't remember how much it sucks. But mm-hmm. you got to remember, I'm laying on a piece of cardboard on gravel.
Yeah.
I can actually put my elbow on the ground and hold one of my sanders, and it'll reach the boat to give you an idea how much distance I have. You don't want to jack the boat up to 4 feet high and crush you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, the fan made all the difference. I really didn't have any fiberglass issues as far as itchiness.
Yeah, that's great.
It wasn't really too bad.
But having it on the bottom like that where you can have that fan just blow it away as you're grinding it, that's just so great.
Yeah, it was the keel. I had to do the whole bottom.
Mm.
I mean, once I started, the boat looks brand new.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, it certainly wouldn't undergo a close inspection. I still have some pinholes and stuff, which I'll take care of the next coat of gel coat. And then I'll do one more final coat. I'm going to do the whole bottom up to where the boat comes out, you know, the chine is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up to the chine so you won't be able to tell where I stop. And I'm really looking forward to it. My boat should be a little bit faster.
Yeah.
And I know that the first time I hear that crunching sound of an oyster, I'm probably going to cry.
Yeah. And you know it's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I was telling Taylor, you know, you're going to touch the bottom now and then.
I mean,
if you fish, you know, you fish around here, and, of course, especially fishing low tide, you're going to touch the bottom.
Well, and I still am going every time I go on the water, I try to hit at least one new spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you don't know what's in there.
Yeah, I didn't grow up here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm new mm-hmm. to this area, and that's what I think is – actually, it's pretty fun.
It is exploring.
I probably just take out my knife and, you know, scrape the bottom before I get to the launch ramp. Just get it over
with. Scratch it up a little bit.
Yeah. Just.
It's like when you get a new car, park it in a parking lot, and then come back to it, and you got a dent in it.
Well, I used to – somebody that I knew used to sell trucks.
Mm-hmm.
He said he sold a new truck to a guy one time. He pulled up with his old truck, pulls a brick out of the truck and throws it in the bed of the new truck. And he said, I'll just get that over with. Seems kind of radical, but fun. You know?
That's good.
Yeah. And as bad as my boat was in 20 years, I should be okay for 5.
Oh, man.
How's your keel?
The keel's okay. The bottom?
Yeah.
It's missing gel coat in places.
See, my keel sticks down about 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3
now,
in the center of the boat.
Now, I haven't looked down, you know, like middle ways or whatever.
Oh, you see, I haven't really looked in the middle of the keel. It's hard when it's on the trailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I need to do that next time I rinse the brakes off, see, because I do crawl up under and rinse the inside of the brakes and the axles and all that stuff, you know, because there again, I got a new trailer, what was it, 2 years ago?
Has it been 2 years?
Yeah. I know, it just flies by, man. But, you know, being that I got that new trailer then, it's a lot of money, so you want to take care of it. So You know, I try to keep the brakes all rinsed off. Now, I paid extra for stainless steel brakes, but, you know, still you want to, you know, because stainless steel will rust. So,
of course,
I'm going to try to rinse it all off.
Well, I'm going to use that. I bought that chemical that you were talking about. Chip, I think
Chip was talking about, yeah.
Chip was talking about. Mm-hmm. And it cost me $80 by the time I got it shipped and purchased. It was $80. And if you look at the reviews, now a lot of these guys are, you know, walleye fishing in Canada, so they're not like we are in saltwater.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that the trailer looks great in 5 years, the product. It's very particular how you're supposed to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be all that. So I'm anxious to see how that works.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Well, I got a brand new trailer. There's not a boat on it. I'd be crazy not to.
Yeah, I mean, while you got it's so easy to do it now.
Correct.
I mean, you know, comparatively.
Yeah, it's not as easy as eating a sandwich, but it's still. Yeah.
Instead of having to go out to the ramp, launch the boat, then work on it, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm going to clean it, scrub it, put that stuff on there,
mm-hmm.
and I'll let you know in 5. Assuming we're both alive.
Oh, yeah, 5 years, that ain't long. It'll go by before you know it.
That's funny. Remember,
in 5 years, I won't be chartered, you know.
You think?
I don't think so. 5 years, you know.
No, I understand.
I need to go fishing myself.
Yes.
So
if I have to pull the tank out of my boat, it means mm-hmm. I have to cut the front open.
Yeah.
And get in there, which will give me access to the sides of the boat. I'm going to put those lights down underneath the gunnels where they won't get damaged.
Those, mm-hmm.
They're 100% waterproof. I have one in my bait well, and it's been in there for 4 or 5 years. It's no problem. I'm really anxious, if I do that, to start doing night fishing in the creeks because I have that GPS steering system. I don't have to steer.
Yeah.
And if I can turn those lights on so I can see shore to cast, it could be super fun, especially big trout at night. So that's the only upside of needing a new gas tank. Hopefully it's probably about a $500 deal. Tanks 300 ish. I've seen him.
How many gallons is it?
It's 20, I think. You know, I've never really had it empty.
It's a shame you can't just go get you a 6 gallon tank and put it in the back of the boat and connect it.
Just screw it onto the poling platform. Good idea.
It'd be up high. It'd be a heck of a time trying to fill it up.
Yeah.
You need a step ladder to get up there and fill it up. But
that's funny. It's a horrifyingly funny.
But yeah, you know, having that, like you say, it's just a shame you can't just do that. Clip it on, be done.
Pull the old broken one out and throw it away.
No, just let it. That don't matter if it
stays. There's no room. I mean,
if it stays in there, you know.
I hate to put a cooler in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
The best place to put the cooler is on the front seat.
Yeah.
You know, so then you lose that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always something.
It is. But, you know, I mean, you only got so much room in a boat. That's the thing. That's why I've always, you know, when I look at a boat, I've always looked at storage space. Because, I mean, if you don't have, you know, good dry storage where your stuff's going to stay good, you know.
Right.
You don't want to have to, you know, everything take out the boat, you know, take the stuff out of the boat all the time, you know, and try to dry it out and all that stuff. So, you know, I had, you know, looked at this one and this thing had so much storage in it. So that's what I loved about it.
Right. Well, I have much less needs than you do.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
You know, if somebody's on my boat and they need something, I can say, too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've come up with it.
If they need something, say, did you bring it?
Yeah. Because I tell them not to bring anything.
But, yeah, that's what I was talking about. You know, instead of me going to a bait shop, you know, and having to buy 10 lures of one kind and stuff like that, you know, when I do stop chartering in a few years or whatever.
You'd be like me, buy one.
Buy one. Get to buy one.
Yeah.
I won't know what it's like.
It's nice, but it's still $10.
Yeah. Give us a call, 222-8255. We got one more segment and we'll be back.
right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Yeah, when you were talking about the flounder a while ago,
yeah,
flounder bite's been better this year than in the past years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the flounder came in early. People were talking about catching a lot of small ones, which we were too. You catch like 12 or something like that, and you get about two keepers, maybe three. Excuse me. And, of course, now they're 14-inch minimum.
Right.
Which we never kept anything less than that anyway. It's just not worth it. But when I had some friends of mine went out one day and caught 22, and I think they had three keepers, out of 22 flounder. But there was a lot of small ones, but now they're getting bigger.
Is this our friends that catch tons of flounder?
Yeah. And now they're getting bigger, and which is good. I've seen another friend of mine, they had two of them probably 8-9 pounds a piece.
Dang.
Nice flounder.
Hey, do you watch YouTube videos that John Skinner puts out?
Yeah, the flounder?
Yeah, the one you just did.
Yeah.
They limited out in the boat. And they were catching, I think they caught 2 9-pounders. Of course, mm-hmm. They're up north.
Yeah.
Fishing in 70 feet of water.
I was going to say, wherever they're at, watching that many flounder in an area, I mean, there's a lot in some
stacked.
Of
the stacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm anxious to get after it. I want to try the bigger baits,
mm-hmm.
and deeper water, too.
Yeah. Let's see. I do, too.
I haven't eaten a fish in 2 or 3 months.
Mm.
Well, we got some swordfish the other day, but boy, was it good.
Mm.
But no, I can remember I used to open my freezer and fish would be falling out, be giving it to the neighbors, That's back when I was good looking.
That's when your neighbors trusted you.
Yeah, and loved me.
Now you don't give them no fish, they don't love you as much, huh?
No, I'm just another annoying neighbor.
But, yeah, last time I was out, I mean, not only is the flounder bite good, the redfish bite is, you know, I've heard people talk about it being off and on because of the heat.
Right.
You know, catching them in deeper water and stuff. I mean, I'm still catching them in the shallows, you know. So, I mean, that still works. It's just that, you know, they're not as many around, you know, in the shallows because, you know, it is warmer water. Yeah, I mean, you do, you know, get up there and you catch a couple of them, you know, here and there. But, you know, that's still, you get your limit of them. I mean, you know, I don't want to take people out anyway and catch, you know, 30 reds because, you know, you're going to hurt some of them and you may even hurt some of them too deep, stuff like that. And I don't see the sense in it, you know. You know, go out there and get your limit and then go after something else, you know. So now I'm looking forward to getting, you know, doing a little bit more flounder fishing myself. And now that the mullet's getting more plentiful, but also using those big baits like the Dirty Boxer, the long curl tails. I'm excited to use those. You know, a lot of times it's tough to get somebody to explain or, you know, to explain to somebody how to work something slow. You know, people don't work things slow, you know. That's what I used to have a problem with, the bombers. And I worked the bombers slow.
It's funny how people just want to crank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell people, I said, you know, because I love the DOAs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had great success with them. All, you know, flounders, trout, redfish, they eat them up.
Yeah.
But I say, okay, now here's what you want to do. You want to cast out. You want to count to, depending on how deep it is, you know, 3 or 7 or whatever. Let it get down. Don't touch it. Just let it go down. And then crank it in really slow, and then cut your speed in half.
Hmm.
Because as soon as you start cranking on it, it comes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, especially if you got any depth of water.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, to try to keep those things close to the bottom, dragging along the bottom like that, I guess, you know, some people just don't understand that, you know, when you turn it fast, it's, you know, especially if you're in any current at all.
Right.
I mean, I think it's just going to pop right up there. You know, maybe 4 or 5 feet off the bottom and you're trying to catch flounder, that ain't going to work.
Well, and you got a half-inch jig head and it's skipping along the surface of the water, you might be cranking a little too fast.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Uh-huh.
But it is. It's hard. Like, you know, when I take people out, of course, you know, one of my favorite trout lures is a bomber.
Mm-hmm.
That's only one of them. I have about 4 favorite trout lures, but the bomber is my favorite, all-time favorite.
I have one.
Yeah, one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to keep it just below the surface. I mean, you know, you can crank them down 3-4 feet.
Yeah.
And then they have the other ones, which is, I think they call it the Pro Series or whatever, and it goes 4 to 6 feet. But it'll also float, you know, if you let it. So
I like that type of lure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, yeah, because you hit the bottom, all you got to do is slow down a little bit more, you know, if you're in shallow water.
Or stop.
And everything hits them, reds, flounder, trout, you know. I like catching flounder on them because, I mean, flounder, come up and grab it, you've got him.
I caught 2 flounders and 2 casts by the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he's got a treble hook on the back of it, so if he comes up and grabs it, you just got him. You don't have to give him time like you do a big mullet or anything like that. You know, you just get him on in the boat. Still want to hold the net under him, though. You know, because they're going to shake that head when you get him out of the water, especially if it's a decent sized flounder. Those things will shake off the hook so quick. I always try to tell people keep them under the water till I get the net over there. You know, and. You know, as soon as you get that head out of the water, I don't care if you have half the fish in the water, he's going to flip that thing out of his mouth if he can.
Yeah, they're remarkable how they get off.
Mm-hmm. It is.
For a flat little funny-looking doormat thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm anxious to get back out there and do some flounder fishing. I've had, you know, quite a few people just wanting to do reds and
right.
trout. And, of course, the trout hadn't been really good this year.
Wasn't good last year.
Yeah. And I don't know if that dredging, you know, drove them away or whatever. But, I mean, they're getting better now than they were last year. So I'm hoping, and this is, you know, in the heat of summer. So I'm hoping that this fall and wintertime is going to be really good with them.
Me too.
Yeah. I do like catching trout on lures.
I was thinking about buying a 1,000 reel, super small reel.
Oh, yeah.
I got a rod for it. I got a graphite rod that's real sensitive. It was pretty expensive, actually.
I have a 5-foot ugly stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little Okuma, real small Okuma reel. And I got 20-pound test lie on it.
Oh.
And when kids catch reds on that thing, oh, my goodness. I mean,
oh, I betcha.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole pole's just,
you know, Battle Royale.
Yeah. And I keep saying I'm going to take it when I go fishing, but I don't ever go fishing, you know. But I want to take it when I go fishing sometime and catch a nice, you know, 25-inch red or something on it.
Right.
I would love to see, you know, what that'll be like.
I have 2,500s that I use 10-pound test line. Mm-hmm. And if you get into a red on the top of the slot, it's in that neighborhood, it's quite the battle. It's pretty fun. You're running all over the place, you know, trying to keep them out of the shrubberies and the motor, and trying to get the motor all the way up, and it's a good time.
Yeah, I wish I could fish more. You know, I don't want to take that little rod out there if I have, you know, just all adults. So I always save that for the kids, you know, so that it stays in good shape and everything works good for them. And but I'm just so anxious to do that myself sometime.
What are we looking at for this month, fish-wise? More of the same?
Yeah, but the mangroves have gotten really good this year.
That'd be nice.
You know, a couple of years ago, it was like we never saw a mangrove.
I remember. Yeah. My wife, that's her favorite fish to eat.
Well, there's nice ones. I mean, they're up to like 16, 17 inches now. Yeah.
Out at the jetties or in or both?
Both, yeah. The thing about the jetties now is like Leon, that video I showed
you. The sharks.
Where he's trying to reel it real quick to get it away from the rocks, and shark comes up and nail it. You know, when you get an area like that and you got a shark that comes up one time and grabs a fish, you're not going to get away from them. They're going to stay right there. The shark's going to stay right there. I mean, if there's food there, they're going to stay there. And, of course, once one of them, you know, bites a fish and you got blood in the water, you're gonna have a couple more up there.
Cafeteria.
But, you know, even in the river, you could have that happen, but not normally would they attack the fish that much like they do at the jetties.
Yeah, I have a couple spots that sometimes they like it. You know, it's a good place to catch them, and it's fun and delicious. But
the flounder, the reds, the mangrove snapper, and, you know, there's, like I say, the trout's getting better and better. But yellowmouth trout also is getting better now, it looks like.
I don't normally like those too much, but I'm trying to make fish patties with them, trying to find a way. Because, you know, if I can't eat it, I don't want to catch it. Yeah. I don't want to catch bull reds.
About the yellowmouth trout, they'll hit a bait twice as hard as the speckle.
Oh, they fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that it just seems like they just, I mean, you know, they just nail it. You know? But anyway, but that's the fish, and once you get out there, I'm hoping that the mangrove is going to be here for a little while.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. I appreciate you coming in this morning. Good to have you again.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right.
Thanks for not making me paint your house this time.